Friends, last few years we have seen that COVID-19 has impacted all the countries in the world. Let us look at the impact of COVID-19 as far as your international trade is concerned. Yes, it has definitely impacted. To curb the spread of this pandemic, the world initiated population lockdowns everywhere. And then this pandemic has resulted in a global economic recession, that is a downturn in the economics of all the countries. This again has resulted in unusually high and rapid increases in unemployment in many countries. First stage, due to lockdown, people were home. Second stage, industries which were closed down over a period of 1 year or 1.5 years, they had to lay down certain staff. They could not recover because of demand and supply problems. Severe global economic disruptions has led to a widespread shortage of supplies. And whenever there is a shortage, there is panic buying. People intend to buy more and more and store it because of uncertainties. And in order to overcome this, there is considerable policy assistance has been given by governments, which has helped to avert the large-scale bankruptcies in many cases. Government has entered with certain initiatives to allow the business and the population to come out of this situation. Immediately next, we have come across the Russia-Ukrainian war. Let us look at the impact of Russia-Ukrainian war. Russia launched a full-scale invasion of Ukraine on 24th February 2022. Why? Because Russian officials accused Ukraine of inciting tensions. And Russia has characterized the conflict as a proxy war being created by Ukraine, which has been instigated by NATO, North America Treaty Organization group of companies. Russia said that no, it's not Ukraine, it's NATO, which is instigating Ukraine to fight. And the Russian invasion has also threatened the energy supply from Russia to European countries. Europe is the largest receiver of crude oil and energy from Russia. That disrupted, due to which there's an increase in the cost of oil, especially to European and American countries. And the net result of this whole war effort is that United States and the European Union, they have proposed bans regarding the Russian oil and gas imports. Russia could not export its gas to various countries due to this ban. Due to this, there was a heavy escalation in the price of oil. Demand, COVID-19 resulted in demand of oil being reduced, resulting in lesser rate being given for oil to the oil exporting countries, especially Russia and Saudi Arabia. Now, Russia wanted Saudi Arabia to cut their oil production. Saudi Arabia did not agree. Result is the tourism downturn, hospitality industry downturn, and energy industry consumer activity downturn has led to reduced demand for oil. And Saudi countries, OPEC, led by Saudi Arabia and Russia, they did not agree to cut the oil production. And this has led to a price war as far as energy supply, crude oil, is concerned. The entire recession out of COVID-19 pandemic and the oil price war has led to a drop in all oil prices, especially energy prices. Mainly Saudi Arabia announced that it would increase its production of crude oil and sell it at a discount. Yes, Saudi said we will sell it at a lower rate. The biggest discounts targeted Russian oil consumers in North and Western Europe. European countries created a ban on Russia for purchasing their oil. Saudi Arabia stepped in and said, I will supply it to European countries at a concessional rate. That was a war between the two countries as far as energy oil is concerned. Let's go a few years before pandemic also. There was a price war or trade war between China and United States. This was a time when Donald Trump was the president in America, where US has accused China of unfair trade practices. The result was that US experienced a growing trade deficit. Now, growing trade deficit meant that they were importing more and exporting less. The net result was that they were getting less dollars and they were required to spend more dollars. The theft was on intellectual property, that is on the royalty being earned by Russia. Now, let me tell you, as far as services are concerned, services exports are concerned, America is the largest earner from service export on account of royalty under the intellectual property rights. And this was forced, the transfer of American technology to China. America said that you have got to give us our intellectual property rights, but China has said, no, I have obtained it free of cost from other sources, not from America. So that was a war between the two. That was trade war, not physical war. United States began setting tariffs and other trade barriers on China. You say anything exports from China coming to America, custom duty rates and taxes were increased. Then other trade barriers in the form of various prohibitory orders were issued by America on China. This resulted in higher prices for consumers in America. That means the consumers of America suffered on this account, because the American manufacturing activities and industry entered into a mild recession. First, on account of this trade war, directly entering into COVID pandemic. That recession has hurt the American industry to a very great extent. This has also caused economic damages in other countries, which I would say collateral damages due to these factors. But some countries have also benefited from increased manufacturing to fill the gaps. Now, manufacturing in America, certain companies was reduced. So that gap has got to be filled. Those countries who could fill up that gap in the manufacturing level of the respective products were benefited. But America also observed a downturn of consumerism and manufacturing, which was worsened the economic crisis. Right up to the pandemic level, it continued. The economic factors, downturn in economic factors, went on going in a downturn. And this has led to a crash in the stock market, the share market, the total unstable, resulting in crash in the market. We also have to look at Afghanistan. There was a crisis in Afghanistan. Previously, Afghanistan had a government supported by America. America withdrew their support. The government fell and Afghanistan was captured by the Taliban and the country was declared as an Islamic Emirate. Now, no other country recognized the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. No country has recognized it. Above all, United States has frozen $9 billion of assets belonging to the Afghan Central Bank, which is lying in various American banks. And therefore, Afghanistan is facing, as of today, the world's greatest humanitarian crisis. Food shortage, money shortage, suffering, etc. The Afghan economy has no cash to pay salaries or buy food, and millions of Afghanis face acute malnutrition and starvation level has occurred over there. Yes, we in India have helped Afghanistan, though we have not recognized that government, but we have helped them by lending a helping hand in giving them 50,000 metric tons of wheat free of cost without taking any money. And they needed some critical medicines. We have airlifted, our Air Force airlifted critical medicines to Afghanistan at the time of their need, though we were not supporting their government, though their government was not on friendly term with us, but looking to the suffering of the people. We have entered Afghanistan and we have helped, given them a helping hand to come out of this particular crisis. Our Indian government has prepared a roadmap, that is Make in India initiative. You will recall our Prime Minister, Mr. Narendra Modi, came up with Make in India concept. It is really a challenging concept, a game changer. Why? Because it will give a boost to contribution of the manufacturing sector to take it up to 25% of the GDP. And today's Digital India initiatives is focusing on three core components. One, creation of digital infrastructure. Two, delivering service digitally. And three, increasing the digital literacy. We see that happening very fast now. In fact, you of the younger generation, you are more digitally organized now, more digitally inclined than what we were. This is increasing the purchase power of an average Indian consumer. It would also further boost demand and hence spur the development. In addition to benefiting the investors, investors will be very happy when there is more of a demand from the consumers. Due to improvement in the economic scenario, there have been investments in various sectors of the Indian economy. India is also focusing on renewable sources to generate energy, because energy is the highest consumption of oil, for which we are paying huge foreign exchange. What are the targets of the roadmap? Our target is India is expected to be the third largest consumer economy. I wouldn't say only economy, consumer economy. Why? Because India today is the fastest growing economy in the world and is expected to be one of the top three economic powers of the world. Starting, India has retained its position as third largest startup base. You know, startup movement started since the last few years. We are the third largest startup base in the world today. And India's GDP is expected to achieve upper middle income status on the back of digitization and globalization both. You will be very happy to know that India is estimated to surpass the USA to become the second largest economy in terms of purchasing power parity by the year 2040. That's a very big achievement, which hopefully our roadmap will lead us. Here, when we want to do trade, nowadays we are looking at trading partners. Country A trading with country B on a mutual trade basis, not only import. If we want to do trading with our trading partners, we do both imports and export. We export those items which we best produce to country B, and we import from country B those items which they produce best, looking to comparative advantage of both the countries. The two main destinations of export of Indian merchandise as of now are the European Union market and the USA. And the two main markets of imports are China and the European Union. Amongst the neighbors, we have Nepal and Bhutan. They are our best partners for both import and export. And you will be surprised to know that our Indian currency is used by Nepal and Bhutan. Locally, you can take your currency, go to Nepal, go to Bhutan, and use your currency. Our Indian currency is used by them. If we count the European Union as one, WTO has ranked India fifth for commercial service export and sixth for commercial service imports. This is really very big, looking to the vast number of countries. Most important factor for you, if you want to make yourself successful in foreign trade, is communication. Communication is your fundamental tool so that you interact in organization. Poor communication wastes time, talent, and money. Communication includes gestures, non-verbal communication, and they vary from culture to culture. Even your greeting is different from each country because their cultures are different. And when you communicate with them, you've got to understand their culture for having a proper communication. If there is a communication gap, either you will misunderstand what they want or they will misunderstand what you want to give. Therefore, develop knowledge and skills needed to interact with people of different culture, especially those cultures, those countries with whom you want to do your business. Primarily management skills for business, they provide the cross-cultural leadership for business and managers to succeed in today's global business. You have to have management skills. And management skills in what? Cross-cultural leadership. It develops an understanding of cultural differences and knowledge to navigate the complexities of international trade. You have got to navigate with the people concerned. So you have to understand the cultural difference. For all your dealings, you have got to pay attention to the cultural issues, languages, and basic international communications in international trade. Your local communication is not sufficient, it is zero. Your communication has got to be on an international level. Strong communication skills, I need not highlight, they are the basic key ingredient to your export success, so that local companies can export successfully. And therefore, you have got to, I need not emphasize this, you have to enhance your cross-cultural management skills for international business. Otherwise, don't get into international business. How do you enhance your management skills? Improve your communication across different cultures, especially the culture of countries where you want to have your trade. Build the confidence to influence the client, supplier, and colleagues from a variety of countries. Benchmark your individual management style against preferences from around the world and learn to adapt accordingly. Learn how to lead across international matrix systems and other organizational structures. Being tied down to your own culture and your own organizational structure will not help you. Your cross-cultural communication, knowledge of language nuances and local customs are important, very, very important for leadership competence. And clouding the message is ensuring the message is conveyed, explains how your company's product can help the audience. That means your target audience. Cultural consideration, it is important to know your audience and to adapt to your message to fit in. Your message has got to be such that it hits the audience in a positive fashion. And you have got to professionalize yourself, because it is very important to know the type of business communication used in order to know the specific etiquettes and standards to use in a specific situation. Different situation requires different standards, different specific conditions require different etiquettes. You have got to adapt to those etiquettes and standards. The most important factor here is a foreign language. Our world is divided by the boundaries of languages, political and geographical. And each country has got its own language which is different. Why only country? In India itself, we have got, I think, more than 1,000 languages. But country to country, when we are dealing with other countries for our trade benefits, we have got to understand their language, and preferably we should try to communicate with them initially in their language, and by that yardsticks we have to learn foreign language. Not all foreign languages, those languages of countries with whom we want to do business. Foreign language will help you a lot as far as your business is concerned. These languages should help you to share your ideas, your pain, joy, sorrows, feelings, without which you can never become a complete human. And maybe if you want to do business on a large scale with a particular company in a particular country, you may have got to behave like a complete union and understand their ideas, their pains, their joys, their sorrows and feelings. And then only you will be successful. Therefore, a bilingual or multilingual person can use his abilities in foreign language to obtain success in a wide range of career paths. Business, even large multinational corporations, they need staff who can speak the language of their customers. Therefore, more languages we know, the more powerful we become. If you travel frequently or to various countries, it is difficult to decide which language to learn and what level is appropriate. You have got to learn the respective language. In export communication also, we cannot afford to ignore the language and culture of our customers. We have got to add some basic international communicate skills to our English proficiency to communicate effectively with your clients in a different country having a different language than English. That is where you have got to strive if you really want to be good in foreign trade. The result will be better communication, improved business relationships, new business opportunities, greater confidence, and it will help you to get into contact more thoroughly. We must, if we talk in their language, we should know how to pronounce the language more thoroughly if we are traveling more and we want to travel more confidently. It should not be that we use their language, but pronunciation we don't know and we try to gaggle whatever we want to gaggle. That will not do. It will throw your business out. Your language strategy, how incoming and foreign correspondence should be processed, that should be your language strategy. How foreign language information should be sourced and processed. How company website can be localized. What intercultural basic international communication and language training is required by you or your staff. And to what level? Whether it should be necessary to recruit staff with language skills or native speakers of languages. Maybe if you are doing business with a number of countries, you may need an interpreter. Now, what is an interpreter? For effective communication in a foreign language, an interpreter will be needed. The interpreter will translate your language to your client's language and your client's language to you. Thereby, basic understanding between the two of you would be through the interpreting process, which is very essential to communicate effectively. Of course, the interpreter will require advanced information and background, your background, though he knows the foreign background. He will also advise you what access is needing for interpreting services for conferences, meetings, and other events. What are the various forms of interpreting? There are various forms of interpreting. One, liaison interpreting between two or three people in conversation. Consecutive interpreting of a speech or a formal address. Whispered interpreting, where only one or two people in the audience speak a different language. Simultaneous interpreting using radio microphones and headsets. And telephone interpreting, where the caller speaks a different language. These are all used in various forms, not only for business, but in various international fora. Again, apart from interpretation, translation is also required. Your product information will be in your language or English. You have got to see that they are translated into the foreign language where you want to do business with. And therefore, translation has got to be done by an experienced and qualified interpreter. And you have got to understand the translation process also. It can be for a variety of purposes, ranging from short lectures, memos, installations, operating instructions, promotional material, etc. Lot of things which require to be translated into the foreign language. These demand different skills, and it is very important to choose the right translator and to brief them accurately. They have got to understand what you want to convey to them, what you want to convey to your audience or your buyer. Company literature needs to be translated, etc., and they have to be all quality control procedures also has to set up in the foreign language, etc. These are all requirements of translation. You should note that professional translators work into their native language, and technical translations demand a knowledge of technology. It should not be that you have somebody from the dramatic system or dramatic work trying to translate a digital language. No. Commercial translations also require a knowledge of the industry. So therefore, your choice of translator should be that they should be professional translators. You should also note that promotional messages can be culturally based and they need to be localized. Important documents need back translation into the original language to check accuracy. Now, what is the meaning of this? Here, your local regulatory documents are in English, maybe sometimes in Hindi also. You should have a back translation into that foreign language, because invoice is the same which goes over there. Therefore, there has got to be a back translator. And then, when you have a back translation, you have got to check the print proofs very thoroughly and also help the translator to check the proofs. Finally, when you are out traveling, you have to meet certain people. When you meet people, you have to greet them first. And that greeting has got to be in their language. Once you are able to greet your foreign buyer or the foreigner in his language, your barrier is broken down. You have established a good relationship. It also shows that we have respect for the people of that country and we are serious about building international links. Therefore, learning a small amount of language is a small task and should be fitted into your travel preparations. We also gain trust and respect
for our international colleagues. Point, meet and greet is very important. Finally, look at the number, look at the type of your greetings. Different language. All languages, greeting is very sweet, very different. You should be knowing at least this one word when you want to meet anybody from that country. That's the primary requisite which you should always have. Why? You want to be in the international trade, in the foreign trade for a long time. You want to do import-export business. Yes. Well, hello in English, okay. Hindi, namaste or namaskara. But different languages, you have got different greetings. And finally, I have a message for you. Thank you.